What's up, everyone? Welcome to Metalcore Nerds. I am Sean Mott, your host. My WandaVision co-host, Tyler Small. What is up, my man?
I kind of like the morning podcast. So yeah. I'm like a morning person, so I'm doing good.
I mean, I'm the same way. I'm always up early. My dogs wake me up to feed them and walk them, and yep. So I am used to the early mornings, and I usually go to the gym and stuff. Today I didn't, but
I canceled my membership like as COVID got kind of worse, but I did, and I had got some home weights, but I feel like I haven't used them as much as I wanted to, but I've been so busy doing all this other extracurricular stuff. So, you know, yeah. It's like my time between work has been like, I'm always streaming or interviewing or recording something lately, but I definitely have to get the SpongeBob marshmallow arms back up to par, you know?
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm just trying to be in shape being over 30 now. So trying not to feel like I want to die every day, which yeah. I haven't in a while. So that's cool.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, what? It's like an old car. Like, what's going to break today?
Oh my God. How was your week? Did you watch anything this week or anything?
I actually have just been like, I mean, me and my girlfriend are keeping up on The Servant, and we're watching that show. Fuck, I forgot the name of the show. It's that show with like Aaron Taylor Johnson, Aaron Paul, where he's like in prison. He was put in prison when he was 19 wrongfully, and it's like that. The woman like does the podcast, and she used to be a reporter, and her podcast kind of got him tried as an adult, but now she thinks he might be innocent, so she's trying to figure out like what actually happened. And he like became a Nazi while he was in prison, and like she blames herself for like his whole, but she's black, so there's like this dynamic where she's trying to help him, but there's like this, right? Yeah, it's like, it's pretty cool. I can't remember
what is this show.
It's on Apple TV. I just can't fucking remember the name of it. And the main actress is like, I'm pretty sure she's got a bunch of awards. So it's like, she was in the movie about like the women working on for NASA.
I didn't see that movie.
I'm trying to think of what she, you'd know her when you saw her. She was like the lobster lady in Dinner for Schmucks.
Like, oh, wow.
Like she was in back when her early, I remember seeing like the first movie I ever saw her is that she gets stabbed in the Rob Zombie Halloween movie at the hospital. She's like, that was like one of her earlier roles. I just can't remember her fucking name.
I'm trying to look it up to see what it would be.
Yeah. But, it's good. It's really good. And, it's got, God, I'm like blanking on everyone's names right now, but it's got that actress from, she was in like Cloverfield. And she used to be in a lot of comedies.
Is it Home Before Dark?
I don't think that's it. It might. It's got Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad in it.
This is weird. Yeah, this week I've Sam and I went and saw Judas and the Black Messiah.
Oh yeah, how was that? I still have to watch that.
It's called Truth Be Told.
Truth Be Told, that's right. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. It's good though. It's funny though, because I always remember it's on Apple TV because the relentless product placement in the Apple TV shows is like like I was like telling my girlfriend last night, I was like, I don't think I've ever actually seen someone use Siri in a television show before this. And then like everybody's using the pods, and I was just like, man, they're like not holding, like it's pretty funny. It's like pretty ham-fisted.
Yeah, which is funny because most people put duct tape over Apple products, or they just leave it because either they don't want to give Apple free promotion, or they just leave it because they know Apple's not going to pay for it and they just don't care. Because I mean, how many people use Apple products? You know what I mean? So many people. Yeah. Like it has to be a major percentage of the world, if whether it's a phone or whatever. So they don't even hide it anymore. But Apple doesn't need to. People just use it normally, so they don't need to pay anyone for it. It's just natural, you know.
it's just funny because I was just like, oh man, it's like she was like, hey Siri, and I was like, I've never heard that in a movie. It's kind of like funny. When it's kind of like how you don't see your phone in your dreams a lot. You know, it's kind of like, I was like, oh wait, this is, cause I was like, and I've also never seen so many AirPods in my life. And like,
Right.
a fictional thing. Like, and I was just like, oh, it's right, because this is their channel. So they're
Right.
probably just like, part of the contract was everything has to be Mac all the
Yeah,
time.
probably. But Judas and the Black Messiah was amazing. Insanely powerful movie. It's very, very good.
It's always the most accurate historical movies that are the most frustrating, I hear.
Yeah, it's wild. It's crazy. I mean, it makes sense. And it's kind of what most people know, unless you're insanely ignorant, that the Black Panther movement was really trying to help people and not
And it
be a
was
terrorist
demonized.
organization.
Yeah, I mean,
Yeah.
I grew up thinking it was a bad thing. Like, you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, I grew up like that was how I was fed, you know, history. It's just weird. And I like it's there's so much shit I know now though that like I was so ignorant to for like so many years.
Yeah.
Like it's
I didn't mean like kids. I meant like, like adults, especially after the shit that happened in the past year that opened up a lot of people's eyes to
Yeah.
how things really are. So it's you watch it, it's not surprising, but it's pretty wild. It's a very, very good movie.
It's
So I,
on my list. I just haven't been in the headspace to watch it because like I know that it's gonna make me angry. Like, cause like that kind of stuff always. It was like when I watched it was kind of like the trial of the
Chicago 7.
yeah, like that was really upsetting and annoying. Like, and
And
it's it.
apparently the stuff they did in that, to the I can't remember his name in the movie. They actually he gets mentioned in Judas and the Black Messiah too. It's crazy.
Oh, okay.
It takes place in Chicago or around in Illinois. I'm pretty sure Chicago, but they mentioned that the actual that whole thing. But apparently what happened in real life was worse than what they portrayed in the movie.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, which I was like, damn, that's fucked up.
I feel like the more you uncover about history, the less good we look.
I mean, yeah, I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's like Hail Hydra. It's like there's so many times I remember thinking that like I just remember thinking that what's his face from Iron Man, he was in you know Iron Man 2 and Civil like was it Civil Winter Soldier I'm thinking of the senator guy. He was like the actor died, but the guy who was trying to at the hearing he was trying to get Tony's suit, and then he turns out he was a Hydra. He was working for Hydra the whole time.
Oh
Yeah, I just
yeah.
remember thinking like this guy's totally based off Ted Cruz. I was just like, that's like all I could think about the whole time.
Yikes.
Like, because he just like look. I remember seeing him. I was like, why does this guy feel so familiar? And then I'm just wondering like, I just like sometimes there's so many parallels in like fiction, like from Final Fantasy VII
Right.
to like Star Wars, where like it
Yeah.
almost like I like look at Star Wars and Final Fantasy in a whole different light as an adult than I did as a kid. Like Shinra
Yeah, that's
Electric,
for sure.
like Shinra. I'm just like and. The Empire, and I'm just like watching stuff, and I'm just like, I don't like being this woke man. This isn't fun. Like, this is taking sucking the fun out of it a little bit.
Yeah, I mean that's the whole thing. I mean, almost everything in pop culture has a political undertone to it, whether you want to realize it or not. So, I mean, comics have been political. That's what I always find it so strange when people are like, keep politics out of comics. And I'm like, the Captain America comic was used to sell war bonds. So I was like, they were born political. What the fuck are you talking about? I was like,
Yeah,
do you not know what X-Men is about? Like,
it's people are it was kind of like it was like people finding out that Rage Against the Machine was a political band, you know what I mean? It's like
dude, I was like, have you ever listened to the, do you know why they like broke up? Like
I mean those people though don't listen actually listen to or read
what?
anything though, which is half the
Right.
problem. So it's like but yeah, it's pretty it's funny too because I was actually this is a, I mean we're talking about Marvel today, but I was just thinking about how I found so much about Star Wars more interesting after all of the political climate that's been happening in our country in the past couple of years. Like I've been
Yeah.
rereading the Plagueis book, and so much more about like all the like seedy stuff that like the banking clan is doing and all of these things. And I'm just like, not only do I understand this a lot better now. But it's weirdly reminiscent of like what's happening in our world. Like it's just like I don't know. It's like I feel
Oh
like it's
yeah.
a lot of it's like the veil gets lifted a little bit the more in like fiction becomes. It's almost like you start to see the lessons that are buried in a lot of the stuff you grew up watching without even realizing it, you
Yeah,
know?
that exactly. It was so I made this statement a few times through the podcast last year, just watching stuff and realizing I learned more about like black oppression or, you know, systematic racism through like comic book movies and TV shows than I did in high school.
Yeah, I mean, like Captain America Civil War was such a good example of how like two people thinking they're right for all the right reasons can be so opposite, like on things and like the politics of the Sokovia Accords and all that stuff. And, you know, I was actually thinking the other day, cause I saw his like redesign and I was like, dude, this looks so good. Cause I like loved the show as a kid, but like, I was thinking about how like, I didn't really grasp when I was a kid, because when I was younger, I never thought about race in this way, but like, I didn't realize how much of an amazing representation Static Shock was, you know what I mean? And like that whole show was built around like that culture and that like, and like the, and it was like, I was like, wow, like, I never, when I'm watching it as a kid, I'm just like, yeah, fucking Static Shock. Like, this is sick. Right. Like, blah, blah. Yeah. But I never really, my brain never clicked. I was like, oh, most of these characters are black. Like, it's like, you don't see this a lot in cartoons. Like, you know, and, and it was just really cool to kind of see how, like, the comics that we grew up loving were always kind of doing right by social, you know, stuff like that, you know, from Black Panther. I was just reading that thing about how, like, was like, the editor wanted, when Black Panther came out, the editor was like, oh, we want more white people in it. So the next issue, he just had Black Panther fucking up the KKK. So it's like, so it was like, that was like a cool little tidbit I found out. So I don't know. I always found that stuff interesting.
Yeah. That stuff is really cool. I guess the show is about WandaVision. So I guess we should talk a little bit about WandaVision.
I know this feels a lot like our first podcast we did, where we just talked about other stuff for an hour.
That's all right. I like a nice little intro. You know what I mean? So let's talk about our overall reactions, like a little non-spoiler talk, just a short thing before we get into the meat of the episode.
For sure. It was fucking awesome. I mean, it was like, it was probably, I mean, it's, I feel like every episode has been my favorite episode as it's come out. But, I mean, obviously, you know, it was my favorite episode. I really loved getting to, I really felt like we're now diving into the magic world of Marvel. Like, really. And it's also, I feel like, the first time we've gotten to kind of see, because, you know, in I know they're talking about how this is going to be a much different MCU with the shows and with this phase. And they were talking about, how, and I was saying in one of our previous podcasts, how like, I think it's going to feel more like comic issues where you're getting to see all of the worlds constantly crossing over and dipping into each other, where like up till now, the movies kind of focused around kind of like different subgenres of like movie. It's like, this one's a magic movie. This one's about spies. This one's about, you know, this and like gods and Norse gods and shit. And now we, you know, getting to go from like Salem Witch Trials to like the sword base in the same episode, going from like, oh, we're in like, we're doing sorcery and magic tricks, and then we're like, oh, like the government, and having those things coexisting in the MCU and like tangible together was kind of what I was waiting for and what I was looking forward to with the TV series, was like just kind of having all of the, like, they spent 10 years building this world, so now it can all start bleeding together. And it's pretty sweet. And I mean, you know, I'd say like my final non-spoiler thing was like, most of my favorite characters, I had to wait like pretty much 10 years for them to all start getting spotlight. Like Winter, you know, Spider-Man, we had to wait forever. Was like my favorite, you know, Winter Soldier, you know, he got to get in there, but like now he's going to be getting his own show. You know, Scarlet Witch has always been one of my favorites, and Quicksilver, and you know, like Quicksilver kind of got fucked, but Wanda's really becoming like, I feel like a pivotal character that she, I feel like she always needed to be. And I'm just really, in this episode, I feel like really made her, I feel like she's now going to be like Iron Man favorite amongst everyone now. When I feel like some people, not as many people, you're going to see the Scarlet Witch cosplays flying off the handle in the next couple of years. You know what I mean? And then Doctor Strange has, you know, is now like the center of the whole thing. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah. I mean, like on my desk right now, I have like Thanos, Doctor Strange, Scarlet Witch, Spider-Man, and Bucky. those are like my favorite characters. And now they're kind of the center of like the universe. So I'm just really excited about all this. And the episode was just fucking, the whole backstory, it was all so dope, but we'll dive into that. What about you?
Yeah. Same. This definitely was my favorite episode. personally, I've dealt with a lot of loss in the last few years. So this episode was insane to me that something like Marvel would touch on something like this. And I thought it was just the swings they're taking with this show are unbelievable. I know it's not for some people, but I don't know. I think people are too used to being like, you know, handheld through stories and stuff. And now the MCU is definitely, they don't care about handholding. They haven't cared since Endgame. You know what I mean? It's like, if you don't know what's up, then that sucks pretty much. I mean, you can watch Endgame and kind of get what's going on, but to get everything, you need to be like a super nerd, you know, like knowing all the callbacks and knowing how this ties and like, oh, it's from a comic and shit like that. And seems like people are like really getting into that. They might be getting into it a little too much, but that's fine too. Like whatever you want to do. I'm not going to knock anyone for looking too much into things. Cause I mean, we've done a whole show on it for the past 8 weeks. But yeah, I thought it was beautiful, tragic, super well done. Even the way it starts from the way it ends was wild to me. I did not see any of this coming, really, to be honest.
Yeah, they really
in this episode.
Typical. It was just like Infinity War, like where they like the trailer had you like almost every theory I had about what was going to happen at the end was not what happened, and it was like they've gotten so good at throwing us about basically feeding us an entire storyline that could go in one direction and then like right at the last second going this way, but still having all of this make sense. And I was like, it was wild.
They're the best at subverting expectations, like giving you what you didn't know you wanted pretty much.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. I love this episode. I thought it was easily my favorite one. And I, as anyone who's listening to the show, obviously I love this show so much. So like saying this is my favorite is obviously pretty high praise, but we'll dive deep into it. So this is a spoiler warning for anyone going forward. If you haven't watched WandaVision episode 8, oh, there she is.
My girl.
Yeah. So spoiler warning. We're about to dive deep into the episode, break it down, talk about our thoughts, Easter eggs, and everything like that. So final warning, spoiler warning. So this episode starts off Salem, Massachusetts, 1693, which I was like, whoa, okay, they're fully doing like the comic accurate origin of Agatha Harkness. Crazy. And then you see it's actually her coven, which is like a nice twist. She got burned at the stake in the comic, so it's similar, but they twist it up, usually what they do anyway. I thought it was a really cool twist. And her coven holds her for using dark magic. So my theory, which I don't think is right, but I'm just going to say it wasn't far off.
I was waiting for this.
I do think she is using the magic from the dark dimension, which I did point out.
I feel like that's a fair point.
They kind of set up those rules in Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
And I kind of also, now that we're learning, you know, like obviously Wanda's a Nexus being, like I wonder if her chaos magic is like pulled, it's like powers pulled from the multiverse, maybe? I don't know. who knows if we'll find out everything about that? We might. But we'll talk about all the crazy reveals near the end. But they try to, try to kill her, I imagine.
Yeah, it seemed like an execution. It seemed like a magic burning at the stake.
Yeah. Pretty much. And then
magic at the stake.
her purple powers come out, and it's almost like it was protecting her, and it wasn't really her at first doing it.
Yeah.
And it drains all the powers, and you find out her mother was the head of the coven. And she was doing it, and in the crazy scene where she takes out everyone but her mom, and she tries to force back, and it forms this crown of like magic around her mom's head.
Yeah.
And then she sucks her power away too, and then we see how she got the brooch. It was her mother's.
And I have like a little thought about that, and I was looking into it a little bit on like the, because there is a character in the comics whose name is like, what the fuck is going on with my camera? Who has like a blue crown. I don't know if it is her mother in the comics. It seems like they're trying to build like the crown thing up as like either a symbol of power or something with sorcery to kind of like maybe justify or make sense of Wanda's whole thing, which we'll get into later with the Hydra thing. Right. But I one of my thoughts was because we were talking about how obviously we have a younger Agatha than the comics. And then we have like her kind of sucking the life force out of everybody and them getting old. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, sucking the life forces out of people or whatever is kind of how she stayed young all these years. Yeah. Or maybe if it's like a Game of Thrones Red Witch kind of thing where she is secretly old and she maybe the brooch or something just makes her look younger.
Oh,
so like, so maybe she is the old woman that we all think, and maybe that's how it all, and like when she finally dies or whatever happens, we'll get to see the real face, kind of like we have a Game of Thrones reveal. So I thought that was kind of interesting. That was just something, a little side note I was thinking about.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think of that. I thought of her draining powers, and that's maybe how she stayed young. But I mean, also like Thor is like thousands of years old or something. You know what I mean? So it's like maybe witches were born with something that makes them keep young forever, because she's 300 plus years old.
Yeah.
It depends. Like 1693 was 330 years ago from there now in 2023. But we don't really know how old she was in that scene. She could have been like 30, 40 or something. So she might be close to, you know, closer to 400 years old, but she's old.
Yo, yeah. Sorry. My TV just like, my monitor just shut off. I was like, what the fuck? It got darker all of a sudden because the light from the monitor went out. And I was like,
flashes back to the basement where we left off in last week's episode. And interestingly enough, there's something about this fucking rabbit. That's all I'm going to say.
We kind of touched on that. And I mean, like, unless like, it's kind of like what we were talking, what was the thing? Or it was like, it could be, the name is either a nod or a hint.
Yeah. So Senior Scratchy could be Nicholas Scratch, her son, or Old Scratch is another term for the devil. And obviously she's like showing off all this magical powers. She's really just what we kind of find out the point of all this. She sensed the magic because there was all these spells going on at once. So she was brought to it, which kind of alludes to the fact that Dr. Strange had to show up. If she sensed this, there's no way Dr. Strange didn't sense this. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like at least he's monitoring it, and maybe it gets more out of control in this last episode and he has to show up and save it. We'll talk more about what the next episode could be near the end.
Yeah, because there's a lot of contenders now in this final showdown that we're going to see. Like, we have like six different people who could be in this whatever fight is going to happen. And without spoilers.
Again, we'll get to that as we get to that. But yeah, so Agatha really just wonders how she did all of this, just like us. Like, how did this all happen? Because she's saying, you know, she did the transfiguration spell, changing the cicada to a bird, and she's saying like, this is just basics. And she talked about the runes and how it's like a basic protection spell. She's like, how do you not know the fundamentals, but you basically created a pocket reality? You know, she's just wondering how she's so powerful.
Yeah.
And she feeds the rabbit the cicada, which rabbits eat plants.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something up with that fucking rabbit.
It's not a rabbit. Like, I don't think it's a rabbit.
Definitely not. It's probably like a transfiguration, or maybe like Mephisto or Chthon or something is trapped in the rabbit, and she's trying to find a way to bring it back. I don't know.
Some kind of flirking thing going on.
Like, yeah, something's going on there. And then she also mentions that Pietro or Fietro, which I love. And she goes, that was you. And she goes, it wasn't literally me. More like my eyes and ears. It was a something possession. It was some weird word. Possession. Which I'm not going to rule out. Is Fox and Quicksilver.
Yeah, I'm not ruling that out either. Like,
right, I'm holding on to that until they prove me wrong.
Yeah, I really want that to be true. There's got to be a reason we didn't see Aaron Taylor Johnson in any of the flashbacks or anything. Like,
we saw him in the footage previously on. Yeah,
we didn't see new footage.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I was a little curious about that, and
he's in another country in full of holes, which was rough.
it does feel too like Agatha's obviously a bad, but it does feel like she obviously was trying to be good at one point. I think there is definitely a Loki kind of dynamic to her where she might not be all the way evil. I feel like it's more so.
I agree.
She's out for herself. She I tried to be gentle. You know what I mean? Like I think she's kind of like admires Wanda as much as she wants to fuck with her.
Yeah. I think she's very intrigued by Wanda.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Eric Voss of New Rockstar has had this theory that she may have lost someone, and that's why she was so surprised when when Sparky died, saying, like, you can fix the dead, and she goes, you can. Like, she was actually genuinely surprised, and, like, maybe that's what she's trying to do. She's trying to get so powerful to bring someone back, which could be Mephisto or some other...
Maybe she just regrets...
demonic being.
Maybe it's her mother.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point. That's possible. It didn't really seem like she wanted to kill her. It's almost like she didn't have a choice.
Yeah, so, I could be good. Like, it's cool seeing an actress being in such a serious role, too, because, like, I always just think of her in Step Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm just thinking of her pissing in the urinal, being like, stay go, pony boy, and now she's, like, serious. Oh, my God. It's just like, I haven't seen her in a serious role yet that I can
think of. Yeah, I don't think I have either. It's mostly just been comedies.
It's like Kristen Wiig being Cheetah kind of thing. It's like, but she was something else too. I think it was it the Mars movie with Matt Damon is what I'm thinking of. But anyways, whatever the fuck. Anyways,
she might have. I don't know. I didn't watch that movie, to be honest.
Oh, it's really good. Definitely check that out if you get a chance. It was great. I liked it a lot. But yeah, so it's she's been a cool character. I'm interested. So we're leading into the flashbacks.
Yes. Agatha does mention that she'd rather fall apart than face her truth, which is the second, direct kind of saying, like, hey, you need to face your truth, kind of like what Monica did last episode.
Yep.
And she takes a piece of her hair, and kind of like what Doctor Strange does to Thor and Thor Ragnarok to find Odin. And then uses a spell to bring back, and she says, now it's time for some real reruns. And we go back to Sokovia when she is 10 years old. And this explains the sitcoms. It also debunks the theory that the woman and the man in the commercials were her parents, because obviously they were not. But it was a fun theory while it lasted. Just throw another one in the garbage and set it on fire like the rest of our theories.
It could still be adopted.
I mean, maybe.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not ruling out Magneto until I have to.
Oh yeah, me too. But I don't think that guy's gonna be Magneto.
No. I meant like we still don't know that Oleg.
Are
her biological parents.
Yeah. For sure.
But they've also been Magneto's kids and not Magneto's kids in the comics. So
a million times, seriously, a million times.
So whatever they do is comic accurate, even though most people only know them as being the children of Magneto.
Yeah, it's been done, redone, undone so many times it's hard to keep up. Then we go and we see that her dad used to sell TV show DVDs, and we see why this was all sitcoms. It was her comfort thing. It's how she learned English. It's, it's what they had TV night with her parents. And you see in his briefcase, there's I Love Lucy, Malcolm in the Middle, which I guess when she was 10, it would have been like 1999 or something, and Malcolm Middle didn't start to 2001, which is kind of a nitpicky thing, but whatever. I think it was just kind of showing, like, oh, this is why every episode was like this kind of show and everything like that. And then she said her favorite is Missing, which ends up being Dick Van Dyke Show, which obviously the first episode is completely based off, they brought in Dick Van Dyke himself to consult on the making of the show to make sure it was as accurate as possible. And the episode they played, which some people point out that it's actually the wrong episode she said, but I guess someone else double checked it, and in the DVD collection is listed like that. So all you people trying to call out that shit, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick.
But like, leave Wanda alone. Like, protect the show.
The episode is actually about, it's like about this crazy thing where he watches Dick Van Dyke watches the sci-fi show. And it's like aliens trying to keep humans from creating technology, which is obviously kind of, and then they get stuck in this like parallel universe, which they kind of reference in that first episode, like, oh, my husband and, or like my wife and their flying saucers. And there's been like a lot of like weird alien references throughout everything. And obviously Hayward is creating technology, which we'll get more into later, but
I hate him.
Yeah. So we find out the why sitcoms, that question answered. A lot of questions were answered in this episode. And then the fucking bomb hits, kills their parents. And then you see Wanda and Pietro hiding under the bed, and the Stark bomb hits, the beeping and the red light, just like the toaster in commercial one. It definitely confirmed. I mean, all of us kind of thought that, you know, the commercials had to deal with Wanda's trauma in some way, which definitely they all did in some way or another. And you see Wanda reach out, and then Agatha pulls her out of the memory and says, "You used a probability hex," confirming. Yeah. That Wanda had powers before the Mind Stone. This is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was like that. That definitely changed. Like, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean. I mean, because the whole mutant Wanda thing, I felt like was always a little vague in the comics. Like, because she's like a mutant, but she's a sorceress.
Yeah,
and it was like where one bled into the other was, I felt like, a little hard to wrap your head around sometimes. So. Yeah.
What do you I was talking to my friend Ryan about this, and I think it can be seen one of two ways: that the mutant gene, like mutants existed the whole time in the MCU, and like the Mind Stone experiments on Pietro and Wanda amplified their powers, kind of really put them into hyperdrive, and the whole snap theory of the energy going across the world could have done the same thing. Like, it doesn't mean that Magneto and Professor X haven't been running around since the 40s or 50s or whatever. They still could have been doing that. And maybe some mutants kind of learned that they had a power and could harness it better without, yeah, you know, an exposure to an Infinity Stone. But this huge surge of power kind of awoken it in everyone else. It's possible. Or it could be kind of like, because her magic is kind of cursed on her by Chthon in one of the runs of the comics. So maybe she was a sorcerer, and then when she hit the Mind Stone, it kind of gave her like telekinesis and stuff like that. But that's kind of like a weird, confusing kind of thing.
And the mutant thing
might be more probable, but again, we don't know.
The whole Mind Stone thing, I feel like they need to clear up a little more too, because it doesn't explain how Pietro got powers.
I think it would be the same thing. Like, he had dormant powers too, and that's why he survived it, because he had this gene, which I brought up the Wakanda Files before, but it said they had like a genetic predisposition, which could be the X gene for all we know. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just amplified the powers. Like, maybe he was super fast, but not godlike fast until he got exposed to the Mind Stone. And then it's like, boom. You know, he become Quicksilver. It could be something like that. You know, it's like people had these kind of dormant powers that they kind of maybe sort of noticed. And like, that's what I was saying on the Professor X, maybe he realized he could like hear people's thoughts, and maybe he like kind of dove into it. And that's what kind of unlocked his powers, with him training and trying to go with it. And that's kind of what he does. Like, 'cause the school could already be here. And then after the snap, he starts finding all these people that their powers just got amplified, and he's trying to help them. But yep. I don't know. It definitely kind of, because that was the big thing with the whole snap theory. They're like, oh, so this one snap thing awakens all their powers. Well, it's kind of like in humans, except it, instead of the Terrigen Mist, it's the snap that created it. In this way, it could differentiate it from Inhumans, because obviously Inhumans are coming. If Ms. Marvel is coming out this year, there has to be something within humans, unless they like retcon her to be a mutant or something. But I feel like that'd be very weird, because she's a pretty newer character.
To
retcon and say she's not an inhuman, especially after the game came out and she was the main character and an inhuman. It would be kind of weird to make her not an inhuman, but I guess we'll wait and see. But I did find it very interesting that she had powers beforehand. That was really, really cool.
It's weird, because I know they just said we weren't going to get the X-Men for a while, you know, so I'm just wondering how much they're going to slow roll all that.
Yeah, I think they might, especially with Falcon Winter Soldier going to Madripoor. I feel like they has to. It's a very big X-Men related location. I feel like they might have something, some character kind of come in and tie in with that. They might not. It might just be them using Madripoor and creating another fictional location, like with Wakanda and Sokovia and stuff.
Yeah,
I guess I'll have to wait and see with that, obviously. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I think it might just be kind of like introducing, like, this is kind of setting the framework for mutants a little bit. I still don't know if they're going to say mutants in the last episode. They might. I really don't know. But I really think it is laying the groundwork for it. And then it'll kind of start coming in slowly and slowly. Because, like, we know they haven't even announced an X-Men movie. Like, they've announced Fantastic Four and everything like that. But we'll have to wait and see how it goes.
Well, the other thing, too, is, like, you know, when it showed her, like, the vision of her Scarlet Witch costume, it was like, was that a view of her future? Is that really where she got that idea in her head for the costume, or was it really a Sokovian fortune teller? Like, was that, like, you know, is she gonna have that? I'm hoping she suits up by the next episode, you know.
But. Yeah. So, yeah, speaking of that, after that, it goes straight into Hydra. Wanda says she doesn't want to go back there, and she's like, well, you already lived it through once. And Agatha says, you know, sometimes going forward, we have to back, makes sense, you know. And she mentions, oh, like so much trauma, blah blah blah. And she's like trying to figure out how this whole thing started, just like all of us. Again, yeah. The show being very, very meta in a way. So they go into Hydra. Wanda comes into the chamber. The Mind Stone is attracted to her, comes to her, like uncases itself. Like you said, she sees the vision of herself as the Scarlet Witch, and it kind of seems. We'll get into later.
It also proves they knew the Mind Stone was in it the whole time, too.
The thing is, I don't know if they saw what happened.
Oh, okay.
I don't really know. I don't know if it was kind of like in Wanda's head, but it like actually happened to her or whatever. I don't really know. Because when they kind of try and watch it, we see when they go to watch it back, the CCTV.
That's right.
Yeah, it like glitches, which explains why the feed in earlier episodes when Sword was trying to watch it glitches. It could be like a side effect of her magic or something. Mm-hmm. Or just like she's so powerful that she doesn't want any trace of it, and it like just cuts off technology or something. It's her powers are crazy.
Well,
but
her powers are subconscious and like passive almost.
So her seeing that, it could be seeing like an alternate reality version of herself. It could be seeing herself in the future. Or it kind of, the way it sets up at the end, it could kind of, like, the Scarlet Witch could be like a mantle that's been held through, you know, the whole thing of time, and she's like the next one.
Well, that's, you know, that's definitely like, I feel like what they were trying to tell us at the end. You know what I mean? It definitely was like, that means you're the thing. Like, you're the chosen one. You know what I mean? It was like, that was definitely what they seemed they were getting at.
Yeah. So. And then we see her in like a cell watching TV again, watching more sitcoms. She's watching the Brady Bunch, the episode where they have the doll, which is the same doll that Vision practices changing diapers on in the third episode, I think. And then Agatha brings her out of the memory again, and she says what we all have been saying. I have a theory.
But I need more. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's them trolling us again.
Yeah. Amazing. I think it's just hilarious at this point. Then we go into the Avengers compound, which is after the events of Age of Ultron, probably between Age of Ultron and Civil War in that time frame.
It's probably like right when they first moved in.
Yeah. Like, so probably like right after Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Because you see in the end, that's when them are like, they're at the Avengers compound training and everything like that. And we see that Wanda's watching Malcolm in the Middle, and Vision comes in. And they had this conversation, which this whole set of dialogue is probably my favorite set of dialogue in the entire MCU. Might be top in like a lot of movies or shows for me.
It was really good.
Incredible. Wanda saw, you know, Vision's like, I would like to help, you know, if you want to talk about it. She goes like, why would I want to talk about it? And he's like, oh, it might bring you comfort. She says, the only thing that's going to bring me comfort is seeing him again. She has said it feels like she's drowning. Every time she gets up, it's like a wave splashes over and knocks her back down again. And then Vision says the best line easily written in the MCU. What is grief if not love persevering? Fuck.
Yeah. It's seeing him, and also like coming from his character, who's like trying to, he's like growing and learning to experience emotion as a whole, and like seeing his analytical grasp of the situation while also like getting to see it in a way that like someone who is too emotional might not be able to see it. Right. It's almost like it's a whole perspective no human could have almost, because we're so wrapped up, and he's like trying to understand it while trying to like
relate to her, or put logic to it. Yeah.
And you know, and it's just like, and then you get to really see like their bond begin.
Yeah.
You know,
like how they really start to fall in love. Like Wanda even says, this is the first home Vision and I shared together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is amazing. And then Agatha's kind of like really pushing at her. You see her kind of wipe away a tear. Like she's actually like connecting with what Wanda has gone through, which I thought was a very, very nice touch. And she really starts to push Wanda, being like, hey, like, how did this whole thing start? Like, you lost your parents, you lost your brother, you lost Vision. You had the one thing that wouldn't bring you back this time. You didn't have Vision. You just wanted him. And then we go right into Sword headquarters. We kind of see the full out scene of what Hayward showed us in that clip, but it's very different. Wanda just wanted to give Vision a funeral. She said, he deserves it. I deserve it.
Yeah.
Then they show the camera footage of like Hayward seeing her and obviously talking to the front desk guy. And I loved the moment where she like looks through the camera to see him, kind of like she did with the drone.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. And they go and they're like, oh, let me beep you in. She's like, nah, I got it. Opens up the door by herself and goes into Hayward's office. He just says, I wanna bury him. And she's like, he's like, let me show you this. And then we see the scene of Vision's body getting pulled apart. Again, a nod to the Vision Quest run in West Coast Avengers, and which we learn now, we'll talk about later. This show is very tied to that run, which they're tied to a lot of runs, but that run and House of M are probably the closest they're pulling inspiration from, I would say, with others like nods from other runs as well. But you can see Hayward is like really trying to provoke her, in some way. And you know, they see they're like fucking sanding down his face and shit like that, pulling it apart, which another thing, when they pull apart his arm, you see this like meshing. It's hexagons. Of course it's hexagons. And she's like, I just want to bury him. And she's like, well, he's the most powerful sentient weapon alive. I can't allow you just to take him. It's my legal and ethical duty to get rid of it, which is also, it's a thing with the Sokovia Accords, like that's part of the laws in it and everything like that. And then he mentions that, you know, not everyone has the powers to bring their soulmate back online. She says, sorry, bring him back to life, which she's just like, I can't do that. Like, that's not what I'm here to do. And
she it's says, like he wants her to, though. It's almost like he wants her to. Yeah.
Yes. And she says, he's all I have. And he says, that's the thing, Wanda. He's not yours. And he also mentions that I can let you bury $3 billion worth of vibranium.
Yeah. Which is kind of a fair point to some end. It is like the rarest, precious, it's the most precious metal on the earth. Like, we don't know if adamantium exists yet, but.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, exactly. So she obviously, this sets her off in a way. She breaks the glass like we see in the video, and you kind of think like, oh, she's just going to steal Vision's body. Hayward tells the men to stand down. Like we were alluding to, it's like he wants her to take the body and bring him back online for him. And she really just goes over there. She kind of like uses her magic around his head and says, I can't feel you, which is obviously a callback to them saying, I just feel you. Infinity War, and I'm pretty positive the music being played is the same score or a similar score to Infinity War when she has to blow up his fucking brain, which that like ruined me.
Yeah, that was rough.
It made me so sad. And again, I'll say it again. I'll probably say it again next episode. motherfuckers, go back and watch Infinity War. It's going to be the most heartbreaking scene ever now.
I want, and as far as going back to, I feel like, because I always liked the movie, but it got so much hate. But I feel like it's kind of like Revenge of the Sith now, where everybody's going back and appreciating Age of Ultron for how good it was now. Dude, I feel like this whole show has brought a lot of validation.
Yeah, I've always been a proponent for Age of Ultron, and I thought it got a lot of hate it didn't deserve, because that sets up Infinity War and Endgame and Civil War. Like, those movies would not make sense without that movie, regardless of things you might not like in it.
It was also like the only Avengers movie we really got to see that was like the Avengers being the Avengers together before everything went to shit. Like, it was like the Avengers you get in the video game, the Avengers you get in the comics. It was like you get to see them like as the team trying to save the world together as their team before everything gets drastically thrown to hell. So it was kind of the only real Avengers movie we got aside from them coming together for the first time. So I feel like that gets overlooked a lot, and it had... It gave us Vision, it gave us Scarlet Witch, it gave us Quicksilver, it gave us fucking Wakanda. Like, it was like such a pivotal movie and had so many great scenes. Like,
yep.
Just, you got to see the tension between Tony and Steve really beginning, like when you even see them throw hands like for a second over Vision. And it's just like, and people are like, oh man, yeah. And like, you know, and I know he kind of got outed as being a piece of shit that we all kind of heard he was, but
Josh Whedon.
But yeah, Joss Whedon got all that shit for that movie. But like, the shit he got for that movie was not the shit he deserved. Like, the shit he deserved was behind the scenes stuff. Like, all that, he got trashed so much for that movie. It was all shit that made no sense. But it was like, yeah, I'm just hyped to see that movie. Always keeps popping up on Disney Plus too. Now, because I feel like everybody's watching it now, which is, I think, is dope, because it definitely was underappreciated.
I completely agree with you, 100%. And then we see her just leave S.W.O.R.D. So, like, he tricked Monica. He tricked all of us, honestly.
Yeah.
Especially with, like, the decaying vibranium and him tracking him inside the hex. Like, we're all like, oh, she's playing fucking house with a fucking corpse, you know? Like, that's what we all thought. And then now we all know that was really Agatha tricking her, trying to snap her out of the fantasy she put herself in.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like this whole thing, we'll get more into, we're about to get to the whole precipice of everything. But we see her leave S.W.O.R.D. She's driving a red Buick, which is funny. It's red. Of course it's red. I watched the show SCN Live, and they talked about like their spoiler, free thoughts about it on Friday's episode, and they said my only gripe with this episode, and this isn't a spoiler, is that she's so powerful and so magically, but she used fucking keyless entry. I was like, that is pretty funny.
I mean, she's got a pretty nice whip, like, all things considered.
Yeah, people are like, oh, she's got a fucking Buick, and you know, Tony Stark and Steve have Audis. Like, what the fuck's going on? And I'm like, dude, it's like she grew up in a poor ass country. I'm sure this car is amazing for her. Like, lay off her.
Well, she's also kind of like low key still considered like a terrorist by the government to some ends. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she's not being treated like the hero she kind of is fully.
I mean, none of them really have been. You know what I mean? Like, all the Avengers kind of are treated like it's like a double edged sword from, you know, the government standpoint for sure. And then you see her drive into Westview, and you see Westview is pretty run down. You see a lot of the people that are involved in the hex and everything like that. And then you see her drive up to this empty plot of land. She opens up the envelope she had in her car that you see in the passenger seat. And it's a deed to a plot of land with a heart that says where we can grow old in V. Dude. I was like, no. I was like, this episode is just like trying to break all of our hearts.
Yeah, it was. And you really feel how alone she is.
Yeah, dude.
You know,
and, I'm guessing the heart is a reference to the heart drawn in the calendar.
Yeah.
In the first episode, you know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, what was this heart? You know what I mean? And like, kind of explains it.
It's making me flash back to all the things I was thinking the first episode was telling us. Like, fuck, man,
it's crazy. And then we see how everything starts. Wanda just breaks down, screams out in like pure pain and agony, creates the fucking house from nothing, and it pieces it together kind of like they've done this with a lot of the visuals in this show, but it's piecing together in puzzle pieces kind of like that House of M cover with Scarlet Witch's face being pulled apart in puzzle pieces. And then another burst goes out and it fully changes the town. You see a billboard change to Westview Dairy Farm, which is the milk she was drinking in last week's episode. There's another billboard where it changes to Lagos Paper Towels, which says clean it up in a snap. Obviously, probably a reference to Thanos. And, you know, you see everything turn. You see her create vision, which is crazy because her magic turns into yellow like Mind Stone power and creates vision. And then she steps into the world, full Dick Van Dyke 1950s world. And this definitely makes the first episode heartbreaking. It makes the series more and more heartbreaking the more that more they peel back the layers and reveal.
Yeah, I just like, I don't know, man. It's so much, just so much happened. Like, it was just like, boom, boom. It was almost like they just dumped the answers on our heads. Like, and it was kind of like, it debunked like 20 theories in 30 seconds. You know what I mean? It was just like,
right.
And then all of a sudden, you know, we're back to like, okay, sweet. So now we know how
and why. And
why, but like, what is really, really going on though, like beyond all this, you know? And that leads us to, I guess, kind of the climax.
Yeah. And then it kind of reveals that she's on like a studio set. Agatha's clapping, and then she snaps and disappears. Much I was like, "Oh, that bitch had to snap, didn't she?" And then you hear the kids yelling. She goes back. She goes out, and it's, you know, she's in the neighborhood of Westview. She's holding the kids with her magic, like strung up, which I think might be kind of a nod to how Master Pandemonium held the twins like sock puppets when they were pieces of Mephisto's soul. Maybe not, but kind of a cool visual. And she says, you know, you don't know how powerful you are. You're dealing with chaos magic, and says, you're the Scarlet Witch.
I know. We finally get to hear it. Like, I was just like, ah! You know what I mean? Like,
saying, my mouth was just wide open.
When she said chaos magic, I was like, it was like Leo, like, and then she was like, Scarlet Witch. And I was like, it was kind of like that, the fucking WW meme where he's like, I was like, as it's just like going back, and then like my eyes lighting up, like, ah,
yeah,
fucking crazy. You know what?
Yeah, the end credit scene is your eyes lighting up. So we get her mentioned the Scarlet Witch, like we were talking about earlier. It's kind of like, it's almost like she mentions it's a myth. Kind of like it's some crazy mantle that
I was waiting for her to say, you're a Nexus being. Like, that was
that's what I thought she was gonna say, like, you're a Nexus being, and I would have been like, but they won up to me. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, oh, she's gonna fucking say it. But Agatha's like fully decked out in crazy witch makeup, her full fucking outfit that was teased in the Agatha All Along segment and everything. Like, dude, this is nuts. So fucking cool. This whole episode is awesome. And then there's no please stand by at the end. It just ends. The villain is gone. It's vanquished.
Yeah.
Which I didn't notice until I watched it the second time. And I was like, oh.
Well, no, really? It does. It happens after the end credits.
Oh, does it?
I believe so. Maybe I'm wrong. I'll have to double check. But yeah, which, speaking of.
Yeah, we get to the end credit scene. It's Hayward at the new sword base or whatever. And they're saying, oh, it's ready. And he goes, finally, we go inside. They explain that all we needed was a little bit of Wanda's magic. And they have the Stark drone that was still covered in her red chaos magic. And then we see it in a machine. They power it up. And it reveals that they have created the White Vision. Fuck.
Like
we said this whole time, they tricked us because we thought Vision was inside the hex, and the reason he couldn't leave is because, like, oh, she's only alive because of Wanda's powers, which is true, but we didn't think that there'd be two Visions simultaneously, which is nuts. Like, this is crazy. And I am gonna give it to my friend Clark, who's been on the podcast before. and Sam, my wife, they both said, like, oh, are we going to get white vision in this? And when Clark asked me, he's like, you think we're going to get white vision by this? And I go, I think we're going to get really fucking dead vision, because I thought his corpse was being...
Well, and I told you, I told you I didn't think Vision was going to be... Like, you said he was going to not be gone after this, and I was like, I think they're going to find a way to bring him back, and my theory is that somehow his white Vision's body is going to end up... She's going to figure out how to put her Vision into that Vision and bring Vision back somehow. That's kind of my theory. However the showdown goes down. Because now his body's back alive. And she has his consciousness. So,
yeah. Another shout out is that my friend Felipe, who I've mentioned before, he's also been on the podcast. He was talking to me. He's like, oh, I bet that they get combined. But I added to it that Wanda might be the one that combines them or whatever. And she thinks it's going to save... you know, bring back Vision to life 100%. But I think even if they do combine it, it kind of just makes him not a weapon. But just like in this West Coast Avengers run, it makes him like the soulless emotional Vision. Like, he doesn't remember Wanda exists, that the kids are his kids, anything like that. Like, I feel like it like saves him from being this like crazy mind controlled weapon by Sword. But he just has no recollection of Wanda's existence, pretty much, which to me is way more heartbreaking than him dying again.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, like, but it's like she seems to be able to like manifest his personality, so she can probably give him his memories, and like all he would have to do is like go through a log of everything that happened, and like he could probably, there's probably a very easy way to upload like Jarvis, like they're kind of like Jarvis, like whatever his memories and everything that happened is all somewhere, whether it's in her, but she's like, her powers are, she's omnipotent almost. So it's like who's to say she can't just put his consciousness back? But I think your idea does make sense.
Yeah. I feel like it's not going to be as clean like that, you know, and it ends up being like, there's no way she can, it makes it so she like loses Vision, but like in the worst way, that he's there, but not there. It's Vision, but it's not Vision. You know what I mean? And that gets him, it also seems like Paul Bettany fucking trolled us. And this is another thing, like, now we're trying to kind of figure out, piece together how this finale is going to go, because I have a few theories. The Vision thing was one theory, but like, really, what the fuck's going to happen? But I think Paul Bettany was trolling us, saying like, oh, this actor I've always wanted to work with, we really had fireworks on set. I think he was just talking about himself, because he's going to be playing alongside himself.
I still think there's going to be a big reveal in the last episode.
I did too, but I think the one Paul Bettany was mentioning personally was him, which is hilarious that he trolled us like that. But I do think, my friend Ryan, who I mentioned earlier about the mutant theory, he keeps thinking that Mark Hamill is the cameo, and I'm like, dude, you need to go like read that review, because the interviewee like baits Elizabeth Olsen, being like, hey, is there like a Luke Skywalker level cameo? And she's just kind of like, yeah, there's some cool reveals, kind of. It kind of got blown way out of proportion, kind of like the aerospace engineer, which we could still get a cool reveal with. I'm not really sure if we're going to or not. I hope we kind of get like a tease of like a name tag or something.
At least give us Doctor Strange, man. Well, it's like,
I think that's going to have to come play at the end. And like you said, it's like, so... is it going to be like white Vision versus Hex Vision, the twins, Monica, Wanda, Agatha, and
Quicksilver?
Is it going to be all of them versus one?
Yeah, and I'm trying to figure, I mean, I think we're going to see like Vision on Vision. I think we're going to see Wanda. I think it's going to be like one of those like Kingpin, Bullseye, Daredevil fights where like Agatha's fighting Wanda, Vision's fighting Vision, Vision's fighting Wanda, the kids are fighting Vision, and then Quicksilver is running around fighting Wanda because he's still possessed. Think about this reveal. She fucking figures out how to like unpossess Quicksilver, and then Quicksilver and Wanda team up on Agatha, bro. Like, there's so many cool things they could do. And I'm still waiting for the...
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like that has to happen. Even if it's an end credit scene or something, yeah, like, it has to happen.
He's like, it's like, Wanda, you have to come with me. The multiverse is at stake. Like, something like that, you know?
Something. Like, I do think it ends with something with her kind of, like, House of M-ing this reality throughout, like, the whole world or universe or something. And it kind of, like, rips a hole in the multiverse or reality itself. Something crazy is going to go down. I don't really know how it's going to go down, but that makes it more exciting. Like, I mean, like we said, this episode, I did not see this, how this episode played out.
Definitely didn't see that coming. They did show the Incredibles-esque photo from the next week's episode of like the family all teamed up like in a fight. And so we're going to get to see Wiccan doing some shit and stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
I'm pretty excited for just like what, it's good. We're finally getting, we haven't seen a fight scene really. So that'd be interesting to actually see that. They said by the end of it, you'll get to see the whole action, you know, MCU. We saw Vision shooting his forehead laser in the original trailer. So we know there's like something's going on. And then Monica, and then you forgot about Monica like almost for a second. Like she's, maybe it's Monica versus Quicksilver. You know, they have a setup. So like, maybe, it could be Vision and the kids versus White Vision, Monica versus Agatha. We could get like a Voldemort fucking Dumbledore style fight with them, like, you know, all of them just doing stuff. Which that was like the coolest scene in the entire Harry Potter movie series was the Dumbledore Voldemort fight. Like when he like spits the fire snake and like has like the glass shards, dude. I don't even like Harry Potter that much, but I was like, that shit was wild.
Yeah. Harry Potter's cool. I like Harry Potter.
Yeah, I liked the book. I liked the books a lot, but I wasn't like really. I didn't care about the movies the way other people did. Like I grew up on the books, obviously, but I wasn't invested in the movies. Like you know, like I am about Star Wars and Marvel, like some people are with Harry Potter. Right. But yeah, man. I feel a lot of validation, and I feel very wrong about so many things, and it just makes me wonder, like what kind of fucking shit are they gonna dump on us? Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, because that's the crazy thing about Falcon and Winter Soldier is I'm trying to like piece together what it's actually going to be about, and I like can't because there's it, like this show, there's almost like three storylines happening at once, but I don't know how they connect at all.
Well, I feel like there's gonna be something because like you got to think Sokovia is a very large bassist in both, so you got like Sokovia, Zemo, the Sokovia Accords, Cap. You know, what's Rhodey doing? Like, what's, you know, how is all this connecting to what's going on with Spider-Man? You know, Spider-Man's wanted by the police, as far as we know. And then, like, you already saw in that one trailer reveal of, like, Peter and MJ. And, like, you see, like, the shadow on the shirt. And it's totally, like, Doctor Strange's hair. Like, and it looks like they're in the Sanctum. But the Sanctum looks kind of dusty and run down in that photo, too. So I don't know what the fuck's going on.
But if it's after Endgame, maybe it's because everyone dusted away.
Oh, that's fair. That or makes sense. Something.
Yeah, I don't know. You know? Yeah, like, you know, it's I don't really know who Bucky and Sam are working for. And it seems like I don't know if it's gonna be S.W.O.R.D. or someone else that's kind of spearheading this US agent thing. I definitely think we're gonna get the start of the Thunderbolts, which you know is gonna be like a government run Avengers pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, like an Avengers they can fully control. And I definitely think it's going to deal with like, you know, like racism and like the complexity of the Captain America mantle. And it kind of seems like they make Sam give over the shield to US Agent and stuff like that, which is crazy.
I definitely like the idea of, I don't know. And it's like a shot in the dark, man. And it's a reach. But I would love to see like one of the characters from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show up as like the new head of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that. You know, I would very much like to see that. I don't want to get too excited, but with the Inhumans coming in, I mean, they have so many ways they could bridge that all together.
I just want Daisy to come into the MCU.
It's like we all want it.
Mac would be cool too.
But Mac as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. would be great.
Yeah. Well, I don't think S.H.I.E.L.D.'s ever going to come back. I think S.H.I.E.L.D.'s dead. I think it's just going to be S.W.O.R.D. But again, like I'm interested to see if like, is there something else with Hayward? Like, is there some other thing? Like, is he someone else? Like, I saw this really cool theory on Facebook. Someone posted that he could be like an evil Skrull. And I was like, oh, he could be like Super Skrull. You know, like, that'd be pretty crazy.
I feel like
that's what I'm waiting for. It's like we saw the twist in Captain Marvel, how that group of Skrulls were good, which is very unexpected. It's like I'm waiting for that bad Skrull reveal, you know.
Well, I guess we'll have to fucking find it, dude. Next week, the last one. I mean, this has been really fun, man. I mean, this is the last, you know, the next one will be the last one until until we come back for Star Wars or we do another Marvel thing down the line. I'd love to do this again, obviously, but it's like it's gonna be weird not doing this every week with the neck with Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'll just be DMing you,
which is fine. I love it.
But yeah, so next week, the finale. Hopefully, hopefully, you know, long episode.
Yeah, it's reported to be 50 minutes, so it's going to be a little longer.
Including credits.
I don't know. They didn't really specify that, or if it's because the credits are usually like 7 to 8 minutes.
I'm excited for Wanda will return in Doctor Strange the Multiverse of Madness. Yeah,
or Spider-Man No Way Home.
Bro, we'll have to talk about that next podcast once we get to the end. We'll have to talk about the implications of that because that's set to come out this year. The trailer's coming out any minute now, so. Yeah,
I think they're still filming, so I think it might be a while. So we haven't got a trailer for Shang-Chi or Eternals.
Yeah, but we'll get a trailer with some fake footage.
Oh God, yeah,
go to throw us off.
I'm sure they have a fake trailer already.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But all right,
well, awesome. If you want to support the podcast, is there anything at social media at Metalcore Nerds? If you're watching this on video form, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, hit a comment with any of the theories you guys have. You can join the secret Facebook group and join in all of our conversation about nerd news from every walks of life, from anime, video games, whatever. We talk about everything. Memes. It doesn't matter.
Lots of memes.
Yes. Also memes. Tons of memes. And if you're listening to this on audio form, hit the subscribe button or the follow button, whether you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave a review. That'd be awesome. That helps the podcast grow. And until next week, we'll talk about the craziness of the finale.
It's been fun, man. See you next week. This was a good one. I don't feel as like torn up by not knowing what the fuck is happening anymore, which is making this wait is going to be probably the, I almost don't want it to be over now. So I'm like, I'm okay with waiting, like digesting it. I might try to I think my plan is to re-binge all of it before
Friday. I might do the same.
But
I usually try to watch the episodes like 2 or 3 times, and I watch a bunch of breakdowns and see if there's any like cool things I missed and stuff like that. And but yeah, awesome guys. Well, see you next week.
See you later, buddy.